Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Community Connections on a Tuesday morning. It's that time we're going to speak to Claire, the garden editor. Good morning to you, Claire. You're right.
Good morning. I am well, but I do apologise, dear listeners, for the sound of my voice because I've got the bug.
Have
Bugs
you?
which are doing
Oh,
the
dear.
rounds, whatever it is. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I am sorry that I might sound a little bit more sniffly than normal down the
Yeah,
phone. But apart from that, I'm in very good spirits.
you need some
Thank you.
tunes, didn't you, really? Or other throat lozenges, other menthol sweets, tunes. Do you remember
Oh,
that
yeah.
advert? That bloke,
Oh.
was it Malcolm? You know, turn
Tunes.
to not the dumb place, wasn't it? Something like that. I don't know.
Yes. I'm a firm believer in doing what works for you to get better as much as possible. So lots
That's
of
right.
water, lots of fluids, lots of throat lozenges, vitamin I, as we call ibuprofen in our house sometimes, when we're all popping it like it's a pop. Some vitamin I. But yes, I think a lot of people are suffering at the moment, aren't they?
Okay.
So let's bring some
Yeah.
nice gardening cheer to everyone, whether you're in your sick bed or not. We've got some lovely questions this week, I think, from the
Yeah, we
listeners,
have
haven't we, Dave?
actually. Yeah. You've got the list there in front of you, haven't you?
I do have the
I'm
list.
hoping
We
he's
have
going to say that because I've got to look on my
yeah.
computer otherwise.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you the names and you
Yeah.
tell me whose question we should have first. We've got questions from Ron, from Jenny, from Janice, from Ross, from Bob, and from Diane.
Oh,
Who would you like to hear from
let's go
first?
Bob.
Bob,
Bob.
brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Bob in South Ham, thank you for your question. Bob's asking, how should I prepare my established perennial plants and shrubs for the freezing temperatures and the heavy snow that winter might bring? Because,
Snow in
girls and boys,
Basingstoke. We won't get any snow, Bob, in Basingstoke. What's the matter with you?
well, winter is coming, and
Yeah.
you never
No, you
quite
never know,
know.
do
You
you?
never quite
No.
know. One thing we do know about climate change is we are more likely to get storms in autumn and spring. So
Yes.
Bob's question is actually very sensible because it might not be so much the snow that we have to watch out for, is what happens when we get these very sudden storms, which can cause a lot of plants quite a bit of stress. So the first thing is establish perennial plants and shrubs. If they are established and hardy, they should be able to cope with snow, no problem. That's not really what causes them damage. However, very large winds and storms can cause something called root rot, where the top of the plant is pushed around by the wind so much it actually loosens the soil around the roots and causes it to fall over. That's why basically trees fall over.
Just like pulling a tooth out, isn't it? If you wiggle a tooth enough,
Yeah,
it will pop
exactly,
out. Yeah,
exactly.
okay.
I've never thought about that. Yeah, teeth. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
pretty similar. Pretty similar. So I'm not suggesting, Bob, you go out and you kind of cut down all your trees and things like that, but it is worth thinking. If you have established perennial plants like salvias, like guarras, it's a really good practice at this time of year to just take off the top third. And roses as well. If you've had lots of roses which have grown very, very tall, take off that top third of top growth, and that will stop and minimize that wind rock that you might get. And that is what tends to kill the plants. It's the wet and the cold getting into those loosened roots or that plant falling over, which can be really problematic. So I would do that. If you are looking at your trees and thinking, oh, I'm not sure, that limb looks a bit unhealthy, talk to a trained arboriculturist or a tree surgeon. It's better to do that sooner rather than later because it's much harder and much more pricey to deal with a repaired fence than to deal with taking off a limb or two of a tree. So I hope that helps, Bob. So don't worry about the snow, but prepare for the wind and the rain sometimes is more actually is a problem. Great.
There you go,
Right.
Bob.
We've
Hopefully
got.
that will give you a little bit of information you need there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Diane, Ross and Scarlett, Ron, Jenny and Janice.
Oh, Diane, let's go, Diane.
Diane from Basingstoke asks a great question. What are the best vegetables or hardy herbs to sow or plant in autumn for a winter or early spring harvest? Well, this is a great question, Diane, because a lot of people think growing stuff is just for the summer, but no, you can grow stuff year round. What you do need to remember, though, is in the winter, plants tend to grow slower. Why? Because it's colder and there's less sun, so they can make less photosynthesis and make less energy. So if you're planting things now, they aren't not necessarily going to be for that early spring harvest. So things like your broad beans, you can plant things like aquaduce is a very good, reliable cultivar. You can plant that now, but that will be for harvesting in the next summer. It won't be a quick harvest. If you want a quicker thing, and I know you talked about vegetables, but a lovely thing in early spring, if you like it, is rhubarb. And rhubarb crowns are now becoming available. And these are kind of like a whole load of roots of a rhubarb. And you plant them now, in probably a nice, really rich manure is the best thing to do for rhubarb. And then in that early spring, you can get those lovely pink fronds of rhubarb, which are nice and expensive. And posh, and that's a really nice thing to do. Other hardy herbs you can the and other garlic, other vegetables you can still probably plant onions and garlic. Again, it's not going to be an early harvest, it's going to be something later on in 2026, but you can do those things now. You can, of course, get things like herbs for your windowsill inside. Quite often, even just the supermarkets have things like chives, which you can just pop in a windowsill and just keep harvesting them as you go. So I hope that gives you some ideas, Diane. And I know you didn't talk about fruit, but I never miss up an opportunity to talk about rhubarb. It's just such a great fruit in my view.
Oh,
I'm very
is
biased.
it a fruit then? Rhubarb? Oh, I suppose it is, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not a bit, well, it's very, very technical about what is a fruit and what is a pom. There's all
We're
sorts
not
of
going to,
techie stuff. We're not going, let's not
no,
do
don't go there
Latin. I'm
today, no.
poorly. Let's not go there today. So yeah, it certainly ain't a veg. It's a probably, anyway, let's not go there. But I hope that helps, Diana. Do let us know how you get on with your plans. Right,
Scarlet, let's go Scarlet.
let's go for Scarlett. Ross and Scarlett asked some great questions following on from that. They are in Oakley. Hello, good morning to you. And they are asking, when is the ideal time to prune fruit trees like apples and pears during the dormant season? And what is the best technique to use? Great question, Ross and Scarlett. I would say we tend to do our big pruning of apple and pear tree in the winter. So this is a January, February job. People like me get dressed up in all our clothes and go out with our little pruning saws and go around everyone's apple and pear trees and pruning them. So the best thing to think about, like all pruning, the first question is, why are we pruning? So we're pruning because we want lots of lovely fruit. We've had great fruit this year, but we also don't want it too out of our reach, because if the fruit is on the top of the trees, by the time it's fallen, it falls to the ground and not into my stomach. So apples and pears, there's a lot of science about it, but what you basically need to remember is they fruit on old wood. So if you prune it back really hard, you get lots of spindly vertical growth and very, very few fruit. So you need to stagger your pruning and not do too much each year. And maybe in the winter we'll do a proper big one about how precisely to do that, Ross and Scarlett. But the important thing is you need to do absolutely nothing in 2025 to apples and pear trees. Just keep harvesting them as
God, that's
much
the
as you
type
can.
of gardening I like, where you don't have to do absolutely nothing. That's the one I like.
I know, I
Hopefully,
know, I know.
there's some good information for you there, Scarlett and Ross. You ain't got to do nothing this side of the new year. That's quite good, isn't it?
Indeed. 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 However, Ron in Old Basing is actively asking for jobs.
Oh,
He's,
they? Oh, okay.
yes.
I've got some jobs for you, Ron, if you want to come around and sort the garden out. Oh, sorry. What does Ron want to know?
Wants to know what specific tasks should be completed in the autumn to ensure the garden soil remains healthy and fertile through the winter months. Ron, this is a question after my own heart. As you know, I bang on about soil. Your garden grows from the soil upwards. The more you look after the soil, the more all your plants will thank you for the soil. It's like looking after a moisturizer for your skin rather than buying going out clothes. Just look after the basics and everything will take care of itself. Now, the important thing about soil is that nature abhors a vacuum. That is a really posh way to say if you have just lots of bare earth, nature will find a way of covering it, either with weeds, or more likely in the winter months, is it will get washed away either by these rainstorms we get or by the wind, the combination of the wind and the rain. So the important thing with your soil is really to basically look after it. So either put a mulch layer on top of it. We've talked a lot about mulch, and I know there's lots of questions people are asking about compost. So we might do another special about compost and mulch maybe in November. But a nice thick layer of compost, which will protect that soil and keep sure it's healthy, make sure all the biodiversity, all the invertebrates in it have a really, really good feed over the winter. That's a really good way of doing it. You're probably just about in time if you really wanted to. It's the other thing is we do something called growing a winter green crop, so like winter tares, where you actually plant in like a winter pea or something like that, and that looks after the soil because it fixes the nitrogen, it gives the soil some root structure to hold on to, and it improves the fertility. So either mulching or green tares, but the important thing really is try not to leave the soil bare, because that's where we find it gets washed away, or you get things growing there that you don't want to grow there. So
There you
I
go.
hope, Ron, that keeps you busy.
I was going to say that
If
sounds
you
like
run
it's
out of
keeping
tart,
busy.
chance chuck over to Dave. He sounds
Yeah.
like he could do with a hand.
That's right. Yeah, I've got some bushes need trimming and cutting down. So, who else we got?
We've got Jenny and we've got Janice. Who should we go for
Oh,
first?
Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny
Yeah.
from Basingstoke's got a great question. Jenny asks, what measures can be taken to protect containers and potted plants from frost damage in an unheated outdoor space? Jenny, this is a brilliant question, because many of us have, we've had a lovely summer, haven't we? It's been so warm. Even now, it's been like beautiful autumn weather. And it's very, very tempting to forget that within a short amount of time, the temperatures really, really start to plummet. And so bringing in and looking after those things which are not going to survive the winter is an important thing. And it's better to do it before you actually find the frost forecast at 10 p.m. at night and you're out there in your pajamas trying to rescue plants. So the first thing to do is to know what plants you have. And I know that sounds a bit basic, but quite a lot of us, we go and buy something and we plant it. And then sometimes we can't quite remember what it is that we've planted. So if you have some photos of your plant in flower, put those into your phone. Your phone systems are pretty good these days on identifying plants. I would say about 80%, 90% accuracy, but that's a good way of doing it. And that will give you the name. Then you put that name into Google with the word RHS afterward. That sounds very specific, but that will give you the official temperature hardiness of that particular plant. And that will tell you whether you need to worry about it. Anything below a rating of H3 or higher, the number, if sorry, H3 or lower. So if it's got a number that says this is H3 hardiness or H2 or H1A or 1B, that means that plant will not survive outside in this winter. Anything from H4 onwards in most conditions is likely to survive. So that's kind of like our rating scale, a bit like I don't know, like a temperature scale, way we kind of talk about plants. So if your plants are things like aeoniums, or you have non-hardy geraniums, like the soft geraniums with the yellow, with the red or the white flowers on them, or begonias, things like that, they are not hardy. So you're going to want to bring them indoors if you have somewhere which is cool, but still light. Otherwise, you can think about leaving things outdoors and wrapping them up. It is quite tricky to do so, depending on how much cold they can particularly tolerate. Some plants will only last a year, those annual plants. So once they've died, regardless of how much you wrap them up. If you have containers and potted plants, the other thing to bear in mind is depending on what they're potted up in, the temperature can penetrate. So like a plastic pot will pass the ambient temperature much quicker than something like a terracotta, which is a much slower cooling down and warming up process. You can wrap plotted pl the plant pots in bubble wrap, for instance. That's a way of kind of protecting it from extra cold if you're a bit worried about that. But this is the time of year to go through what's out there, work out, is it an annual, in which case it's the end of the season. If it's a perennial, is it H3 or higher in the number charts, in which case you need to find somewhere to bring it in. Like a porch is ideal. I don't have a porch, but my parents do. So quite a lot of my plants go on a summer holiday or winter holiday down to Devon, and they sit in a porch over winter. And my parents just have to trip over them as they come in and out.
And really, I suppose
The
if it's a plant that you sort of you're going to have every year, once you've done it once, you'll get to remember, won't you,
you
what type
will
of
get
plant
to
it is.
remember.
I know it
Exactly.
sounds a bit long-winded, doesn't it? Oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. But once you've done it once, it's that
It's
is,
exactly, yeah.
yeah.
It's like
Okay.
learning to cook a Christmas dinner, or just getting into the habit of doing your laundry. It's
Yeah.
just, it's a little bit of a boring task. It's not my favorite one to do in all the world, but actually, it just means you just get them and you just look after your money and your plants. And
Yeah.
you just think, oh, it's this time of year, I need to bring those things in from now.
Okay.
Lovely. And our final question today, I think, is from
Janice.
Janice in Chinham. And Janice is asking, a question about common winter garden issues. Everyone's really getting into winter already. I'm
Yeah, they
liking
are,
this.
aren't they?
I'm
Yeah.
liking this.
Mind you, you would have thought that because we had nice weather, didn't we, on Sunday? The sun was out
Well,
Sunday. It
it's been
was quite nice.
lovely. It's been lovely. I have to say, I've still been working in shorts last week.
Oh,
So I'm,
no.
I will tell you when the shorts finally get put away. But anyway, let's flip forward to winter and see if we can help Janice with her questions. So Janice is asking, how can I manage and prevent common winter garden problems like waterlogging or damage from cold weather pests? Janice, these are the brilliant question. So turning to waterlogging, first of all, waterlogging, particularly if you have a garden where the water where it's sloping or it's low or you're on clay, you might find that you get very boggy patches, particularly in your lawn. This is a particular problem we find when lots of us build extensions to our houses. That means there's less soil to absorb the water slowly and more patio, which means the water scoots off and scoots into the ground. And then once it's kind of reached its absorbent toleration, you get those boggy areas. So again, going back to what we were saying before, the first thing is to look after your soil. So the more you look after that soil and introduce kind of good soil practice like annual mulching and things like that, the more you're going to break down that clay and give it lighter and give it a more of a sponge-like quality. Sometimes you really can't fight nature though. So if you're like at the bottom of a slope and everyone around you has put an extension, you are going to have that boggy bit of your garden in the winter. But don't despair, you can do a lot of things like that. You can make a wildlife pond there, you can make a bog garden there. There's all sorts of really interesting plants you can grow in those boggier conditions, some of which are utterly, utterly beautiful. So it's less of a problem unless you think you want to try and solve it. If it's a lawn problem, it is a trickier one. As I say, it's kind of a bit about aerating and getting the good air into the lawn, which would help you with that. Dennis also asked about cold weather pests, and this is a great question. And this is for those of pe this is a bit of a sneak preview of next time when we're going to talk
That's
about
right.
bugs and pests and
Yeah.
diseases. A lot of pests and diseases go into dormancy in winter because they are normally little insects, and that means they are curled up snugly in this beautiful, lovely soil that we've created for them. So, Janice, if you want to really get ahead, there's a few things you can do. If you have lilies in pots, lily beetles are an absolute scourge and can quite often strip your lily plants over the summer. If you tip out your lily plants now, you will be able to see in the roots whether they're only those little lily beetle larvae, like little bright little white little bugs curled up. And if you take those all out, the birds around you will be delighted because it's a lovely protein hitter snack. You will be delighted because you're stopping the problem for next year. The same with vine weevils. Again, very common in plant pots. If you find your pots and plants just aren't looking healthy, always a good idea to tap out and see if you can have a look around the roots. If you see little fat little grub-like things, get those all out. Those are all the pests which are going to incubate over the winter and then cause you problems for next year. If it's really bad, you can wash out the roots and literally repot it in fresh compost and get rid of that compost somewhere far away from your garden. Your green bin is fine for those purposes. The other one, which has been quite common this year, is black spot on roses. And black spot is actually not a pest, but it's a fungal disease. And the fungal spores sit in the ground over winter. So if you have bad black spot, pick off all the affected leaves now. Don't put them in your compost. Put them in your council disposable bin and then mulch around. And that is going to stop those spores from falling on that ground and reinfecting your plant next year. But as we said, we thought for Halloween we'd do a spooky pests and diseases one. So if anyone's got any questions, please let us know. We'd love to help you with your ghosts and ghouls and your baddies and your vampires and what's causing your plants not to thrive as you would like. So just get in touch in the normal ways.
Okay, now we're going to do that not next week, but the week after, aren't we? Which
That's
is
right, in
going
the
to,
run up
yeah,
to
so the
Halloween.
run at
Yes.
Halloween. So if you've got any questions about some spooky garden bugs and you want some answers from Claire, then make sure you get that in to us. You can send an email at studio@basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk. And you can do that, well, you can do it right now if you want to. And I will pass them questions over to Claire. That's all the questions for this week, isn't it?
That is nice. I'm sorry it's taken a bit longer than normal, but we had so many lovely questions and we didn't want to leave anyone out at all. So
No, that's
thank you
right.
so much,
No,
everyone.
okay. And we do enjoy getting questions, don't we? We love
Oh,
getting
yeah.
questions. It's good fun.
We really do.
And it gives Claire a bit of homework to do as well, doesn't it, Claire?
Yeah, but no Latin. No Latin. Did you notice?
No. All right. Before we go, what's your song for today then, please?
Well, we had a talk last week, didn't we, about cardigans? Because we talked about
Yes, we
the
did,
week
yeah.
before, about cardigans and the
About
Taylor Swift song.
cardigans.
And I thought actually that reminded me how banging the group the Cardigans were. So I thought we should have a bit more cardigan time, as it's autumn, not yet winter. So let's go with the Cardigans and Love Fool, please.
Okay, I'll put on for you in a moment. Thank you very much, Claire, and I will speak to you in a couple of weeks' time, ready for Halloween.
Woo-hoo. Looking forward to it already.
Hopefully you'll feel a lot better by then.
Hopefully, indeed. I'd like this bug to go, please. So,
Absolutely.
send us your remedies.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon. Thanks, Claire.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.